From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
As a result of the president's failure to act, Secretary Chertoff's failure to act, and the failure of Congress to act, it appears we are about to see a new underclass of Katrina homeless in America.
The House Select Committee on Hurricane Katrina releases its report. Though most Democrats boycotted the committee, we'll speak with one who didn't, Georgia Congressmember Cynthia McKinney. And are New Orleans evacuees being denied the right to vote? In Haiti, René Préval is declared the winner. And a UN report calls for the closing of Guantanamo. We'll talk with Chaplain James Yee.
As an insider who spent 10 months in Guantanamo in 2002 and most of 2003, I can say without a doubt that many of the things pointed out in this report are in fact true.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Haiti, René Préval has been declared the country's new president, winning last week's election, the first since the ouster of Jean-Bertrand Aristide 2 years ago. Préval is a former ally of Aristide and received much of his support from Aristide supporters, including the prominent priest Gerard Jean-Just. Like Aristide, Préval is seen as a champion of the poor. He's pledged to create jobs, improve education, and battle social inequities in Haiti. Préval's victory was announced early this morning after agreement was reached between the interim government and the Electoral Council. It had looked like Haiti was headed for a political crisis. With nearly all the votes counted, Préval had fallen just shy of the 50% margin needed to avoid a runoff. However, Préval had called for an investigation into possible election fraud after it was discovered that 85,000 blank ballots were cast. Up to thousands of burnt ballots were also discovered in a state garbage dump. Under the agreement, some of the blank ballots were subtracted from the total number of votes counted, giving Préval the majority he needed. In other news, United Nations investigators have called on the Bush administration to immediately close the Guantanamo Bay prison camp in Cuba. The UN report urges the U.S. government to, quote, refrain from any practice amounting to torture or cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment. The report goes on to state, quote, in the case of the Guantanamo Bay detainees, the U.S. executive operates as judge, as prosecutor, and as defense counsel. This constitutes serious violations of various guarantees of the right to a fair trial before an independent tribunal, unquote. About 500 men are being held at Guantanamo. Charges have never been filed against most of them. State Department spokesperson Sean McCormick dismissed the report. He said the UN information is, quote, based on hearsay. In Iraq, the publication of new photographs showing Iraqi detainees being tortured inside the U.S.-run Abu Ghraib prison is being met by outrage. The Australian broadcaster SBS first aired the photographs Wednesday. Many of the images have been reprinted in Iraqi newspapers and aired on television. One Iraqi citizen, Adalwad, says the photos prove the United States was acting in violation of international law.
We feel sorry about the photos we saw yesterday. We saw humiliation to the Iraqis, and we saw that there is no respect to the dignity of the Iraqi people in this country. The country where we were masters, we are now slaves, and the masters come from abroad. In addition to the Abu Ghraib abuse photos, we saw Iraqis being beaten in Basra by the British forces. This is a violation of international laws, which they used as a pretext to invade Iraq. We feel sorry that such acts are being repeated on a daily basis at the Iraqi streets. There is unjustified killings by the U.S. force. The public opinion is misled, and regrettably enough, the Iraqi prisoner was treated in a barbaric and savage way at the hands of the American forces.
One photograph showed a man lying dead in the dirt with blood coming out of his head. Another showed a naked man hanging from a bed by his knees. Another prisoner is shown covered in feces. Naked men are also shown in sexually humiliating positions. Prisoners are photographed wearing hoods. Men were also photographed showing what appears to be burn and torture marks. And the outcry over the photos may only intensify. Earlier today, Salon.com published even more photographs from Abu Ghraib. The online publication obtained files and other electronic documents from an internal army investigation. The material includes more than 1,000 photographs, videos, and supporting documents. According to Salon.com, some of the documents refer to CIA personnel as interrogators of prisoners at Abu Ghraib. To date, no CIA officers have been prosecuted for any crimes that occurred within the prison, despite the death of at least one Iraqi during a CIA interrogation there. On Wednesday, the American Civil Liberties Union, Amnesty International, and other groups called for a truly independent investigation to look at all levels of the military chain of command, as well as involvement from other government agencies like the CIA and private military contractors who've been implicated in the abuses. Meanwhile, the U.S. government is criticizing publication of the new photographs. Pentagon spokesperson Brian Whitman said the release of the images, quote, could only further inflame and possibly incite unnecessary violence in the world and would endanger our military men and women that are serving in places around the world, he said. State Department legal advisor John Bellinger also criticized the release of the photos.
These additional photographs that are now out are disgusting. And shows once again just the reprehensible conduct that was going on in Abu Ghraib. It's unfortunate, though, that the photographs are continuing to come out because I think it simply fans the flames at a time that sentiments on these issues are raw around the world.
Meanwhile, Mike Carey, the executive producer of the Australian program Dateline, defended the broadcast of the images.
This was new examples of abuse, criminal abuse potentially, lots of corpses with no explanation why they were there. We thought we had a responsibility to broadcast those to show the real horror of what happened in Abu Ghraib. We actually did not broadcast some of the photographs because we thought they were too extreme. We've got lots more photographs on the DVDs we obtained. Some of them are particularly sick. Some show sex acts between the guards at Abu Ghraib, apparently dressed in fatigues, probably occurring in Abu Ghraib. Lots of stuff like that we could have shown, we didn't.
Mike Carey of the Australian news program Dateline. In other Iraq news, the human rights group Global Exchange and anti-war group Code Pink are criticizing the Bush administration for refusing to allow two Iraqi women into the United States. The women have been scheduled to take part in a speaking tour and to participate in the March 8th Women Say No to War march in Washington. Both women were widows whose husbands and children were killed by U.S. troops. According to the groups, the State Department rejected the visas because the women didn't have enough family in Iraq to prove they'll return to the country and not emigrate to the United States. Organizer Medea Benjamin said, quote, "It's appalling that the U.S. military killed these women's families, and then the U.S. government rejects their visas on the grounds that they have no family to return to in Iraq." And in domestic news, Vice President Dick Cheney has spoken publicly for the first time about how he accidentally shot his hunting partner Saturday. The prominent Texan attorney, Harry Whittington, remains hospitalized. Cheney shot the 78-year-old man in the face, neck, shoulder, and chest. Earlier this week, Whittington suffered a minor heart attack. Cheney has come under increasing criticism for withholding information from the press about the shooting for nearly a day and then waiting three more days to make a public statement. On Wednesday, the vice president spoke with Fox News' Brit Hume.
Ultimately, I'm the guy who pulled the trigger that fired the round that hit Harry. And you can talk about all of the other conditions that existed at the time, but that's the bottom line. And there's no, it was not Harry's fault. You can't blame anybody else. I'm the guy who pulled the trigger and shot my friend.
During the interview, Cheney also defended his decision not to report the shooting to the national press. The story leaked out Sunday after first appearing on the website of the Corpus Christi Caller Times, a paper in South Texas. Questions have also been raised about whether alcohol played a factor in the shooting. Up until Wednesday, the owner of the ranch, Catherine Armstrong, had said no one was drinking alcohol before the shooting and that Dr. Pepper had been served at lunch. However, Cheney admitted yesterday he had a beer during lunch several hours before the shooting, but the vice president denied that anyone was under the influence of alcohol at the time of the shooting. The shooting safety rules of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department warn, quote, "Don't drink alcohol or take drugs before or while handling firearms or bow and arrows." And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.